Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano. Today is October 14, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Fingst, the makers of the much-loved Fingst Canary. In today's first story, the InfoSec industry this week spotted and exposed a disinformation campaign comprised of a few hundred Twitter accounts that tried to push an unfounded claim that the APT41 cyber espionage group was actually the US National Security Agency. The campaign also tried to spread the rumor that US cybersecurity firm Mandiant had also attributed APT41 to the US NSA, when in reality, it was the other way around, with Mandiant firmly linking APT41 to Chinese operators. Some of the accounts part of this campaign posted in Chinese, others posted in English, while others even went as far as to try to pose as Intrusion Truth, a mysterious entity that has been doxing Chinese APTs, in an attempt to give legitimacy to their theory. The perpetrators of this campaign are unknown, but Intrusion Truth itself woke from their Twitter slumber on Thursday and posted a tweet attributing this entire disinformation failure to APT41 itself. But moving on to actual APT and cyber espionage related news, Broadcom's Symantec Threat Hunter team published an interesting report on Thursday on new attacks carried out by the Budworm APT, also known as APT27 and Lucky Mouse. The main finding of this report is that Budworm has returned to targeting US organizations, something the group hasn't done in years. More specifically, Symantec said that Budworm tried to compromise a US state legislature, along with other high-value targets like the government of a Middle Eastern country. Meanwhile, fellow US cybersecurity firm SentinelOne said it also uncovered a new Chinese espionage focus group, named WIP19, SentinelOne said the group has been targeting telecommunications and IT service providers in the Middle East and Asia. SentinelOne says WIP19 uses legitimate stolen certificates to sign novel malware, and the group are actually behind Maggie, a recently discovered malware strain that has been targeting Microsoft SQL servers over the past months. Also in China-related threat intel, Cisco Talos researchers said they discovered a new malware with Chinese roots being used in the wild. The new tools are Alchemist, a new command and control framework, and Insect, a new Go-based cross-platform remote access Trojan. In other malware news, this end week, we had quite a few technical reports published on various malware strains and their operations. Going over the most interesting ones, Zscaler published a report on Ducktail, a Vietnamese info-stealer operation focused on stealing Facebook business accounts. Entity Security also published an in-depth analysis of the leaked Lockbit 3.0 ransomware builder. In addition, HP's Wolf Security team also published a report on the Magni Bear ransomware that has been targeting South Korea for the past half decade, and NetResec also covered BackConnect, the command and control protocol used by the Iced ID botnet. On top of this, cloud security firm Aptix also published a report on a Marspam campaign delivering Agent Tesla malware via the WSH RAD. Trend Micro also had a similar report on how the Black Basta ransomware operators used the CACBOT malware to easily breach and move inside a compromised network. In another report from mobile security firm Threat Fabric, the company said they've seen a cybercrime group calling customers of Italian banks as part of a scheme to trick them into installing the Copybara Android banking Trojan. But in terms of phishing operations, US cybersecurity firm Trellix probably had the most interesting report, describing on Thursday a malicious email campaign that targeted county workers managing US local election infrastructure. Trellix said election workers in Arizona and Pennsylvania were targeted months before their state's primary election cycles, with malicious emails trying to lure them on phishing sites to steal their credentials. In threat intel news, security researchers also found that a pro-Russian hacktivist group known as NoName057 launched a program this month called DDoSia, through which the group claims to pay contributors who download their tool and launch DDoS attacks against Western targets. In banking fraud-related news, the European Association of Secure Transactions, also known as EAST, an industry group of banks and ATM vendors operating in Europe, said it received more than 500 reports of ATM thefts where attackers appear to have used a new type of ATM man-in-the-middle relay attack to intercept and steal customer funds. East didn't reveal any other details, but said it's working with industry partners and law enforcement in the affected countries to investigate the incidents further. In government-related news, the Greek parliament also finished its investigation into the use of spyware by its security services against the country's opposition parties and local journalists. The parliament, controlled by the country's ruling party, found that intelligence officials did nothing wrong. What a surprise. Moving on to tech news, Proton, the company behind the Proton Mail secure email service, finally announced this week support for securing accounts with a hardware-based security key. The move comes after the service has gained a huge traction with activists and human rights defenders, all who are often the target of sophisticated phishing campaigns. Also in tech news, Signal said it will stop supporting the ability to send and receive SMS and MMS messages via its Android app, a decision it took on the grounds of privacy and security. The feature was only supported in Signal's Android app and was a leftover from Signal's early years when the app was known as TechSecure. The World Wide Web Consortium also published a first draft of a new specification that will standardize password reset URLs to a default format and location. The standard was proposed by two Apple engineers, and the idea behind it is to make password reset URLs across all modern websites discoverable for automated tools, which could then help users change passwords across multiple services at once. Also in tech news, in a blog post on Wednesday, Microsoft also made a somewhat of a big announcement confirming that after years of pleadings from its customers, the company has finally made available an RSS feed for all its security updates. And since we're talking about security updates, better go and patch your Fortinet firewalls and proxies as soon as possible as a public proof of concept exploit for the CVE-2022-40-6840 day was also released online on Thursday. According to security researcher Kevin Beaumont, attacks targeting Fortinet devices have already begun to happen at scale almost on the same day. Moving on to hacks and data breach news, the New York Attorney General's office fined this week US retailer Shine with $1.9 million for its 2018 data breach, an incident during which hackers stole the details of 6.42 million Shine customers. In data breaches that took place this week, there's more crypto carnage, with the QAN platform disclosing that it lost an estimated $2 million worth of cryptocurrency after an attacker manipulated one of its smart contracts on Wednesday. The incident adds to a list of 10 different crypto heists that took place this week alone. And last but not least, we have an update in regards to some files dumped by the Guacamaya hacktivist group last month. According to the Sydney Morning Herald, a large collection of classified documents leaked by the Guacamaya group from the Colombian government inadvertently exposed details about criminal investigations into Colombian drug cartels and the personal details of police undercover agents from several countries. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Fingst, the makers of the much-loved Fingst Canary. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.